All right. Happy Friday, Victor.
Happy Friday, Steve. How's it going? I love the energy.
We got to bring the early energy here. Love I got it. Up again. My fifth day in a row. I've been at the gym at 5 a.m. every day this week.
Man.
And I feel the difference.
I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. I know it's, you know, you strive yourself and put yourself in the position to get that done. And it's not easy, you know, especially with two kids. So,
yeah. I got to thank one kid. That's how it started. It was on Monday when they woke me up at 3:30. I couldn't go back to sleep. I was like, I could either lay here scrolling on the phone looking for Airbnb opportunities for us or go hit the gym while I do this on a bike. And that's how it started. And now I feel good. 5 days in a row. Let's keep it going.
There you go, man. I think an exercise, an early exercise, set yourself up for the day, right? I mean, I always love to say, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger that said it, that you never go into the gym feeling the same way you leave it. So, I mean, you start it off in the morning and it sets your day up for success, I think. So, good job.
Yeah, good. I felt good. And that let me eat. We had croquetas and stuff yesterday that was not part of my diet plan, but I didn't feel as bad because I worked out in the morning. So, you see, just balance. Life's all about balance.
Drink water throughout the day. And yeah, man, I know in 2 weeks we're going to see Steve in a tank top doing tangy talks.
Flexing. I got the gun show coming. It's going to be fun.
I love it.
But we had a good meeting yesterday too. Like I wanted to tell people, like, you know, it was good to see. We have a leadership meeting. We talk about a lot of things. We really focus, like we use the Entrepreneur Operating System. So EOS for the people out there. But I love seeing it. I like that you're leading it. Can you just share for some people out there, like why we do this and then, you know, how we learn this? Cause some people may not have a consistent flow. You know, we had from hotels some experience and we tweaked it for us. Maybe share like what we do. I'm just thinking about because I had a good time yesterday while I was eating croquetas and paying attention to the meeting.
No, it is a good time. And thanks for joining in on those. But yeah, we do with our leadership team. We have a Monday and a Thursday leadership team meeting. And basically Monday, we're just, you know, kind of getting updated from the weekend. Anything that's, you know, that may need attention. We're looking at, you know, the week basically and what we have going on, and we're looking ahead as well. We're going through the day and then also briefing ourselves on any like projects that we got going on. You brought up and you helped me out with an awesome idea and having like a leadership chart, which I love because we could basically set up all the projects, due dates, you know, who's it assigned to, and I love like the graph feature that shows like, hey, you have more, you know, it kind of gamifies that whole process. So that's something new that we're doing and I love, and I've seen really good feedback. And then we have our Thursday one that it's the middle of the week meeting. And that one we're going through, you know, reviews and what, you know, guests are saying and any feedback. Yesterday you brought up, you know, some pacing where we were able to look at, you know, September numbers, October, and like how the occupancy is starting to improve. And I think it's a great meeting. It's like really kind of like the pinnacle meeting, I think, for us as leaders to get everybody, you know, rowing in the same direction. So I think it's super important. You know, we have our one-on-ones on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's also super important. But I think the leadership meeting is like, you know, just to make sure that everything is kind of running in the same order, right?
No,
something to add to that.
No, I think it's great. And I think it's just important for people to do it consistently. And plus, I like that we do it in some of our homes twice a week. Because then we can see the home, look around, like we caught something that maybe we wouldn't have caught if someone checked in that day.
Exactly.
So it's really good keys. But that wasn't part of our show today, but I just really enjoyed it yesterday. And today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. You know, we're starting with two new properties, and I want to bring that up because, you know, we're going to be doing something that started really easily, something that had a couple of challenges that we need to get with, but they're both starting. We're going to talk about Airbnb and the future of Airbnb because Brian Chesky clearly said they are not a booking channel. They are Airbnb and they're different. So we're going to see what he's coming up with. That's and then we attended the Favor Vacation Rental Extravaganza. So we were there, our team, we had a great time there last week. So we'll talk about some things we learned there. And I really enjoyed it this year. So I think we hop in.
Exciting show. I'm looking forward to it. Let's chat.
So let's set the stage here for listeners. We have two properties, two very different ones. We don't want to give all the details away, but they're both premier properties, we'll say.
Right.
They'll be up on our website here very soon. One of them, a beautiful penthouse overlooking the ocean. You know, longer sales process, but to get it onboarded is what I want to focus on. The onboarding has been pretty good. We got in there, we're getting started. It should be up on the website within a week, we'd say, right? Another home we've got, beautiful home on the water as well, but a little bit more of a challenge to get started because it was some issues with permits and construction and getting things with our furniture packages down the right way. So it just shows you something we thought was going to start earlier, did not. And so you always have to be ready with your team and prepared for different kind of owners that you work with. So what have you seen, Victor? Because you deal with it one-on-one with the owners.
Yeah.
And how can we give some advice to the listeners if they're getting started? And maybe one goes really quick and one does not.
Yeah, you set it up perfectly there. Yeah, it's a challenge, right? I mean, I'm sure every property management company has to deal with, right? Like we always say, I have conversations with our hotel friends and say, oh, you manage properties, it must be so easy. It must be just like a hotel. And I'm like, actually, it's a little bit more difficult. Everything is spread out. You know, in a hotel, you have one owner that you have to, you know, usually one or two owners. Yep. Here, every house is different. You know, it has a different owner, different personality, different things that each property need. But yeah, the onboarding has been very seamless for one. It's a penthouse that you mentioned. And then the other home, there has been a couple of things that little roadblocks that we've gone along the way. But we'll start off with the seamless one, right?
Yeah, the easy one.
The easy
one. Why was it seamless?
Right. So immediately we get in, property is ready, it's fully furnished. You know, that's kind of a perfect scenario. It always doesn't happen that way. This property itself was already being ran and managed by the owner themselves. And they, you know, decided to go with a professional management company. So we went in with our team, did our inventory, went through each items, saw what we needed to do, saw what we need to purchase as far as like linens, anything missing, pots and pans, and then any, you know, maintenance issues or maintenance tasks that we need to kind of get to. So, you know, created a timeline, send it to the owner. Owner, do you agree with this? Yes, let's go. We go ahead and proceed and get all these items done. Everything has gone very smooth. You know, obviously there's some operational things that we needed to get done with the building because every building is different and what the check-in is process in and how do you get your team registered, et cetera. Every building is different. But once we got all that done, now we're basically on pace to get photographies up next week and have the property live, you know, Friday. So super exciting. Everything has been seamless, very, very smooth and very easy, especially when you have owners that are extremely cooperative. And not only that, they listen to advice and listen to, you know, our suggestions. So that's super important. Now we go to a little bit more challenging one, right? It's, you know, standalone home, beautiful waterfront, like you mentioned. You know, the owner has a completely different vision of what, you know, she wants a property. It is a luxury home, and she does have a great, you know, vision as what she wants the property to look like. It wasn't furnished, so that was the first obstacle. We offered, you know, our design service, which we have packages and we have great team behind that helps us set up properties. But she said, let me save some money, I'll do it myself. Just give me kind of like a mood, you know, and a vibe that the property is going for, and I'll handle it ourselves. 2 weeks later, realized it's not as easy as it looked and reached out for our help. There was already furniture in place, so we kind of had to walk backwards. You know, so much easier to walk with a, you know, work with a template, right? A free
work with our packages instead of a mishmash. Yes,
we could just plug and play. But now we're here picking, you know, furniture with what's already there. So challenge number one. Second challenge, obviously, we go through permit process. We want to make sure our property is legal and, you know, we're in doing everything by the books. First question I ask, hey, is everything here under permit? Because when you're bringing somebody in from the city, it's almost like opening up a can of worms. Anything that's not, you know, under permit might be, you know, picked off. And that occurred. Everything according to you know, everyone, everything was under permit. But when we got there, you know, we noticed that there was a couple of things that were not up to code. So that delayed us. And now we're in the process of doing that. So two little things that, you know, really delayed us. Now we're in the right steps and processes. And we set up a timeline as well, a little bit delayed on that, just because we're waiting on, you know, a couple of things. But we're in pace to hopefully get it up by first week of October. So you know, kind of shows you the two kind of properties and what the obstacles are in each one, and kind of, I'm sure what other managers, you know, kind of go through the same thing. So you've been hearing it. I know I've been updating you. Kind of what do you think? What is your take
on it? Yeah, I think that if you're hiring someone for their expertise, make sure to take their advice. But you see this with anything, right? Because we've done different projects of all different kinds. You see it in hotels where you have hotel management contracts and you talk to owners that are billionaires and they have it. I know how to do this better than the hotel management company. You see it even with owners of homes and vacation rentals, right? We're involved in all of those worlds. And so you see it that way. And I just think that you should take the advice that's being given to you because we have thousands of reps and so do other fantastic managers out there. Take the advice. Make it easy on yourself because it's much harder than you think it actually is. It's one thing to make a Pinterest mood board and then actually put it into real life. Right. So that's what I would tell you, everyone listening out there. Now, if you're a property manager, make sure to have clear steps. Like that's what we have, very clear steps. And even with the very clear steps, you can see what can happen.
Of course.
We'll take it and run with it, make it happen. And we got that place live and everyone's making money, or where you got a lot of work to do just to get that place up and running.
Oh yeah.
So for us, we don't make our money until the house starts getting rented. Like we do have some consulting fees and some other things up front for design, but everyone wins once that place starts getting going. So I would tell everyone to do that. And if you're an owner and you have questions of like, what should I be doing or what to expect? You can always email us at tangymgmt.com and we'll send you a little checklist of what you should be having in your place and what you need. So just make sure, reach out, you got help. Okay.
And Steve, I know this was not part of our discussion, but I want to kind of touch on this because we've chatted this past week about this. You know, we get calls all the time from new leads that have gone through different management companies, and they'll tell us like, hey, you know, there's this company has the $1,000, $2,000 onboarding fee.
Yep.
You know, and we've always thought, you know, hey, our goal is to get this property, you know, rented and in line to get it, you know, to have our first guest. So we're always playing with the idea of like, you know, should we have like an onboarding process or an onboarding fee, I'm sorry, or should we not? We've always stuck with, you know, we want to make sure we're protecting the owner's pockets. But I think we came up with a pretty good idea that will protect ourselves because we have, unfortunately, we keep it real here. We've been burnt in the past where we've done all of this work for an owner, getting the property up and running. And then right when it's about to start, you know, there's a complication or the owner, you know, wants to do it themselves, et cetera. So you came up with a great idea of basically charging like an initiation fee that will go towards your first month. But I think it'll show commitment, you know, from the owner and they're basically financially invested at that point. I think it's a great idea. Why did you, you know, kind of come about that? Like,
I think, look, I realize we do a lot of work for a lot of people and some of the most successful people in other industries are doing that. Right. Okay. So we got to apply it to ours because there was one, like we had a boutique hotel in, we won't say what city, but it was the one that we really wanted. And so we gave a lot of work up front that we didn't realize. It was almost like a carrot. It was like, oh, next week, next week, next week. And each week we were like, all right, well, we have a signed agreement. So that's good.
Right.
But we just can't seem to get this thing going. And then it was over. Right. And our dreams of that hotel went crumbling down, even though he still reaches out. And if you hear this, we still are interested if we can make it happen. But that taught us we put a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
We got to cover that time and effort. And so we'll charge a fee based off the size of the home and we'll put that towards your first month. So once it's up and running, it'll be your credit. You'll get that back. And I think it will work very easily and make sure everyone's committed. Because it's easy to say that you want to do something. But once you, it's like, you know, anytime you pay for something, you're more committed to doing it, whether it's going to an event or going to the gym, right? You pay your gym membership, trying to get you to go. So you're more committed to doing those things.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And any property managers that are listening to, you know, I'm sure you've gone through this experience yourself and you just got to protect yourself, right? It's your time. It's your ideas. It's your, you know, consultation. You just got to think about all of that that's put into place. And the property you're talking about, we worked on it for a year. Like it was a long time.
I still drive by it and I'm like, we could be doing this place. It would be making more money than it makes now.
I know. So it's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's still an opportunity. I mean, we always chat with the owner and I know he's always liking your LinkedIn posts, and he's pretty active there. So, but we still want to help out that property. It's a beautiful property. But point of the moral of the story: protect yourself as a property manager. And thanks for that idea and that feedback there as well. Yeah,
we're implementing it. But we got some questions. Our first listener questions comes from our friend Paul Manzi. So, Paul, we're going to make sure to tag you in this. So he asks, how do you find the right property owners to work with? And how do you learn when and how to say no to guests and owners? So we can break that down. So how do we find the right property owners to work with? Because there are some red flags that we've seen. You share two and I'll share two of the red flags that we're like, nah, that doesn't work for us.
Yeah, let's do it. And first, you know, I'll kind of set it up by, you know, basically saying what our, you know, startup and what it looks like when we do our first call, when we meet the owner. You know, first we have a discovery call, which is the first call. It's like about a 15 to 30 minute call where we're just talking about the properties. You know, we have a little pitch about our services, the owner, any questions that they may have. It's a great opportunity. And then secondly, we love to meet the owner in the property and do a walkthrough in the property so they can meet us and meet, you know, members of our team. And that way we can have that face-to-face as well. And that, I think that is the most important call, because that's where you are being able to see, you know, what the vision of the owners are. So, you know, we've talked about this in our show before, right person, right seat, you know, right owner, right seat. So we want to make sure that this owner aligns with our vision and aligns with what our goals are and have the same values, you know, that us as a company, we bring. So that's super important to us. You know, anything as far as like, you know, I'll talk about a little bit of a red flag, you know, an owner that immediately says, hey, you know, I have a realtor friend or I have a buddy that told me I can make, you know, $200,000 off this property. You know, let's push. I'm like, hey, you know, we do our research and we do our market reports and everything. We'll say, hey, look, this is the more realistic, you know. So that's one of the things, you know, when they have an expectation that is a little different than what you that you have. And then another one would be, you know, probably a little bit more of like control when they want to be very, very involved, which we have owners that like to be very involved and which we love because, you know, they're very diligent and they get things done. And then we have owners that aren't necessarily, but there are owners that, you know, want to read the messages, want to answer the messages, want to involve themselves in decisions. And we remind them time and time again, hey, you know, we've had the practice, we've had the reps, like we have processes and standards in place. So when we have owners that we can see want to be very, very, very like hyper involved, you know, that's another little small red flag for me, at least. So what do you have, Steve?
I think that's a big one, because we've had, so for listeners, we had somebody reading messages and then show up to the property to like yell at guests in the house because he didn't like how they were speaking to us. But we are hospitality trained. We take it, we listen, we empathize, we act, you know, we take care of the business. So that's what I would tell listeners out there when you're starting. You know, you want to do anything for money, right? That's kind of like what you hear a lot of times. So you'll take properties on. And we had properties that we took because we needed to grow. So you have a company to have. But as you continue to grow, we shed those properties. And then now we're rejecting a lot of people, right? So it's hard to reject, right? That's and so I think for people listening, it's hard to do that. Like, wow, I really want to grow. But you know, you're going to add that property in the wrong neighborhood or the wrong owner. And it's just going to be a headache. So don't do anything for money. If you're already stabilized, try to pick the right people. But answering Paul's question, so some red flags here too, is that you've seen them, they're trashing their previous property management company. And so we walked into places and they're trashing their previous property management company, but they're doing all the things that they're supposed to, right? And so there are times of trash other companies. There are some companies out there that are terrible. I will tell you that. And they're stealing people's money. But there's other times where like, no, that sounds pretty much right. Like that's what they should be doing. Right? We've had a couple of those that we brought on and we're like, yeah, we probably shouldn't have. It's just like when you're going for a job interview, you never want to trash your previous employer to the employer that you're going to
be. You always tell me that.
And then the other is, do they actually have the finances to back up what they say? And so we've worked with a couple where they have big grand dreams. So we're going to put a pool here. We're going to do this and we're going to transform this. And then they don't have the actual funds to do it. Right. So we don't ask for any of those things, like for financial checks on people and like how much money they have in their account at this point, maybe down the road. But I think you can see like, all right, you have all these big dreams. How are you going to finance it? How are you going to pay for these things? Right? How are you expected to do those things?
Exactly. So great questions, Paul. And you could see, right, it's a challenge. If someone's asking for it, meaning they've probably seen it and dealt with it themselves. And it's a challenge, you know, you have to right property, right owner. And you get those two. If one of those things is not the right one, then that property might not be one that you want to manage. So you want to have both of those two components aligned with your vision. So and I love that.
Yeah, it's great questions. And for anyone who doesn't know Paul, let's give him a shout out because he's an entrepreneur now. And he does a great job doing marketing for short-term rentals and hospitality companies. He's a wizard on anything pay-per-click ads. So make sure to check out Paul Manzi on LinkedIn if you don't follow him now. So free shout out for you, Paul, because we like you. So let's move into this because this is interesting. Brian Chesky, the founder of Airbnb, it's been interesting. He had an interesting take. And basically, he was at the recent Skift Global Forum, and he was sharing his vision for what Airbnb will become. And he is saying that Airbnb is a unique category. It is not an OTA. And for listeners that don't know OTA, that's an online travel agency. So he's not just a booking channel. He's saying that they are more than that. And they're going to be expanding beyond homes. And it could be car rentals. It could be long-term stays and more. He also is saying that they're going to get even bigger into experiences, but with a twist. Which I'm not sure what that is, but if you want to go to the Eiffel Tower, you can still do that, but there'll be a twist when you go to these major landmarks. And at the Icons homes, that's, if you haven't seen them, are pretty fun, like the Barbie house, and you can stay at Kevin Hart's place or in a stadium, are not really meant for really driving revenue. They're more for marketing. And so he has this big vision for Airbnb. You know, I'm not telling you all, I'm not an accredited investor, but I do own stock in Airbnb, so I want to see it do well.
Yeah. I was going to say that right now. I checked it this morning and the stocks went up.
Well, all stocks went up. So I'm hoping that they continue to go up. But yes, Airbnb is up. So I'm hoping that he creates something because it's true. Like he doesn't want to become an OTA, but that's really kind of what we use it for right now. So what do you think? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, they have big visions. And what you said, you know, they don't want to be just known as an OTA. We know here in Miami specifically, they've put deals together, teaming up with buildings. You know, I don't think necessarily it's gone the way maybe they've visioned because they've backed out of, one or two of those deals. But it's interesting, you know, they want to go into the space. They want to kind of, keep growing and keep keep expanding into other opportunities. So I'm excited to see, you know, we never trash our OTAs, especially a big one like Airbnb, which produces about, 60 to 70% of our revenue here. So, you know, more power to them. We love the tools and we love what they have to offer. And hopefully us, you know, hosts and managers can benefit from them.
Yeah, I think they've been listening to hosts a lot more over the last 24 months, because at one point it was like we had no say or power or anything. Cancel reservations or just like wipe out a listing just because there was, we made a mistake and your listing has been taken off. And there was a lot of that. I haven't seen much of that this year.
It was
like 2 years ago, so I don't want to jinx us, but I like what he's saying because, again, coming back to travel, how do you separate yourself? How do you unlock all these things and add one or two business lines every year? We've kind of done that as well. I understand that you want to have multiple revenue streams coming in. Like we were just short term, now we do long term, now we're getting into boutique hotels. Like we're pushing all these different things, so I like seeing how they do that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't seen them like fully, like their experiences came back.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of competition now. There's a lot of experience companies and there is, you know, I think they saw Turo and some other car rental things pop up that were the Airbnbs of car rental and the Airbnbs of this. And so I think they're trying to be like, no, we're the Airbnb and we're going to get back into being the Airbnb of everything. Almost kind of like how Uber started to spread out into cars, and food, and now they got a whole bunch of other things that I haven't even tried yet.
Super interesting. You know, I mean, who's to say that Airbnb can't team up with hotels or with other ventures and possibly even hospitality in the hospitality world, anything that is available. I mean, we talked about spaces and we've talked about events and things of that nature. So who's to say that they can't, you know, go into those fields.
Yeah, I would love to post events there instead of on Eventbrite, right? If they can start doing that kind of stuff, it'd be cool to start doing those kind of things and have everything in one place. But you're right. Hotels, they got Hotel Tonight. They own it. And so they're going to get more and more involved in different things. And, you know, we have a deal that we have to launch, but we'll plant the seed. So we have a, I don't want to give it away too much. We will be helping a hotel use Airbnb. Let's put it like that. And so it will be something unique that I'm excited to announce once we launch it.
Yeah, our hybrid model. We'll see. It's been something in the works, and we think that it could be something bigger, right?
It could potentially- if it works, it'll be gigantic. So we need to make it work. We're going to figure this out. So if any of you out there do API connections and aren't going to charge us $1 million, because this was one of the calls we had, let us know. We're happy to talk to you.
There you go. I love it. But yeah, Brian Chesky, you keep on the vision, keep on empowering the Airbnb world. It helps us all. I love when I'm watching TV and all of a sudden an Airbnb commercial pops up. I'm like, yes, that's another reservation that's probably going to come in. So doing a lot of marketing and doing it well too, I think. I think
like you're marketing
about it, right? The little houses, you know, why stay in a hotel when you could this and you have your family and your kids can enjoy it, this and that. So hey, more power to them. Keep them going.
Keep it pushing, guys. We like it. And talk about that. We learned about a lot of new things in the vacation rental world and short-term rental world. We just came back from the Favor Vacation Rental Extravaganza, where both Victor Feria and I were on stage answering questions. We're experts now, man. You see, we're experts answering people's questions on stage. And
up there, it's crazy. I don't know.
At least we both looked the part. Like we knew, we looked like we knew what we were talking about. There at the very least. But it was a lot of fun. I really liked that event. This year was really, really cool. I really like how Dennis and Jimmy and the whole team really stepped up, and it just felt like a lot more energy and a lot of new faces there this year that hadn't been in it. What do you think of this year's event?
I think I loved it. I mean, we talked about it, that the energy was definitely up. There was definitely, like you mentioned, newer faces, newer vendors, which always gets me excited, because if there's so many more new vendors, you know, in the space, it tells us that there's a lot of opportunity. And I think my key takeaway was, and I think was everyone's really kind of like number one and the hot girl in the room was the AI world, huh? The AI world getting involved into the short term. It was like a line in front of the whole AI section of the event. So it was cool to see. And there's an opportunity there. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. Last year, the big hot topic was direct bookings, like get everything direct booking on your website. And here's all the tools and how to do it. And
so true.
It's good. I like it. This year, AI, which I want to get a demo with the two companies that were there. Yeah. We did meet some people. That's what I think was good about this year. Is this year, we actually met people to help for things that we need now. And so there's some technology that we're going to go learn about, some enhanced email marketing that we already have a meeting set up about. And just see good to see people that we've known in the industry for a while, just reconnecting in real life. You know, I've been a hater on certain conferences. Like we were just at one, we won't name it, but there was no one there. We were in and out of there within an hour.
Hour and a half.
And I felt bad. But this one actually was good. Like we went for 2 days, we went up to Orlando, and I really enjoyed it. But they also had some unique like networking opportunities for us. Like they had a casino night, so people got to go. We missed it. We got stuck in rain at a restaurant, had our own networking with our team, which was fun. We got to kind of go around Orlando and see things. It was a lot of fun there this time. But for next year, what are you hoping to see? How about that at that place?
I like that. Yeah. For next year, you know, I would say that the conference, or like not the conference, like the panel area, the panel section, I think we can get a little bit more personal on that end. You know, right now it's like a big room with a lot of space, and you feel kind of like you're talking to, you know, the room. And I feel like if it could be condensed in a smaller area, and there'll be a lot more, you know, one-on-one or a lot of more personal touches with the panels. I think now, because it's just so big and so big of a space, it kind of impedes for that. So I would love to see that. That's, you know, the event itself. As far as like any like vendors or anything like that, I would love to see and to learn more about, you know, I think laws and policies and then see any other new kind of tool or vendor that is out there at kind of like AI. You know, you talked about direct booking last year. So I want to see what's the next hot girl in the room.
Yeah, I like that. So they did do speed networking where it was vendors and managers or owners. I like to see that in a different way where almost like a masterclass, like, hey, we're going to get owners of these 10 companies in this room and 10 companies over here, and you're all going to come up with ideas that could help everybody in the room. And so I like that. I think that would be helpful because we go there looking for answers, and sometimes you can't get out of a panel or a speech. You'd rather like learn, how do you do this at your place? And how do you do this at your place? Because you can do that one-on-one, but I think it would be fun to see that set up.
I love that idea. I think we should pitch that, you know, like one professional, one experienced person in a table with, you know, 6-7 other people, and they could just basically, you know,
just some ideas. Yeah, and know that's what they're walking into. So it's prepared, and it's not like, oh, now right now we're going to do this. Right. So no one's prepared and great to share.
Very organized. But I love that. That's an idea.
They might put us in charge of it. So if you're ready for some extra planning, we might have to do that.
I love it. I love it, man.
But I think that was great to see. The industry is strong. We heard, you know, a lot of great people fighting for the rights of vacation rentals there. Fantastic vendors. Like you said, more and more people showing up. So if you haven't joined Favor, make sure to do so online. You can register and it's not expensive. Forget the exact amount, but it's worth it. You get a ton of information. You get things sent to you. You have opportunities to connect with others and really learn.
I love it. I love it. And I want to plug in something that is in the works. Realtors, if you're out there, you know, the association Favor is making a pretty big push to get with realtors. We're setting up in our local chapter here a group in place. We might do some webinars, and we realize, you know, they're the front face of a lot of these investors that are coming in. So when an investor is coming in, they're looking for a person that is experienced and that is knowledgeable in the area, and that's their go-to person. So if we get these realtors, you know, online and focused on what they need to do and advise and give good advice, then when that person, you know, that realtor or that owner goes out to look for a management company, it's a much seamless transition, and there's more, you know, cohesiveness on what needs to get done. So realtors, we're gonna do a lot of cool things. So if you're listening and you're a realtor, you know, let us know, send us a message, and we can include you in those. I think it'll be fun.
I think it's going to be great. We educate you, a whole new revenue stream for you as well. If you want to become experts in short-term rental or hybrid models of real estate instead of just the normal long-term and sell. Exactly. So, man, we covered a lot here today. How to get into homes more smoothly and get those places up and running. Brian Chesky and what he's doing at Airbnb. The Favor event and just us talking about all the fun stuff we've got going on. But if you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe. If you found any value in this, you think somebody would, please make sure to share it with them. And of course, we will see you next week.